A little more than a week ago, I got a call from a friend. And he was having trouble at work. He was saying how frustrated he was. See, he'd been in and out of jobs now for a while. He'd went back to school and got a degree in business. And he went to go work for a chain for a while, and he done well for him, and they really didn't reward him very well, so he went and he looked for another job, and he found another job, and he was excited about it. He'd been there a couple months. And he was frustrated because he hadn't seen a raise yet. And he'd been looking around at other stuff and been comparing wages, and he had a concern. He's, you know, I'm not getting paid any more than if I was working at Aldi's. And I've got this business degree and I'm in charge of half dozen people on a shop floor. And the owner of this company, he's a real crass man, and he, even though when we get together for lunches and we play a board game or so, he'll get upset if we leave the board game out so we can play it over break and so forth. And he's distraught. He said, it just isn't fair. And when he was talking to me, hard for me not to jump into that role of, yeah, I agree with you. It should be this way. It should be that way. This is how it should be. But I couldn't do it. Christ was the same way. Battery's dead on this. I'll stay here close to the podium. Can you hear me okay? All right. You see, there's a couple type of people. If you have had to deal with those that are sick or ill, or had to deal with hospice, you'll see people come and go to visit the family. And you can kind of group them into two areas. So the first group is those that like to hear themselves talk. And they try to explain why everything's happening. To convince themselves, maybe to convince the other person there. Maybe that has a time and a place. But if you've been on the other end of that, that's often the person you can't wait till they go. There's the second type. Doesn't say anything unless you ask them a question. And when you do ask them a question, doesn't hold anything back. If they don't know the answer, they say, I don't know. But they'll pray with you and they'll hold your hand. And that's the type of person you don't want to see him leave. Christ was more like that second person. He had apostles and disciples around him. They always had questions. Why? The Pharisees would ask him, What should we do with this woman? What should we do in this situation? Why? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 3:9. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given tasks with which the sons of men are occupied. He also made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them to rejoice and do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the gift of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before Him. Like the story of the vineyard that Christ presented to His disciples in Matthew that I read for you earlier this morning. God doesn't explain why. He gives what is His as He sees fit. The Bible's full of accounts of people dealing with this question of why in a time of distress. If we go to Psalm 6:6, we read, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. Psalm 42:3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Psalm 40, 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. That's just in Psalms, and that's only in 3. I could give you a half dozen easily more in just Psalms alone. So when Ecclesiastes says, He has made everything beautiful in His time, also He has put eternity into their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end, it has so much meaning to us. Leaves questions. You see, our hearts groan for that fairness. They groan for that just, that righteous thing. That equality of all. My kids, when they see each one do different chores, they groan that they be even in the chores that they do. He unloaded the dishwasher. I'll take out the trash. Or I unloaded the dishwasher. Or I put away the dishes. I shouldn't have to wash them.
That's because God put that eternity in our heart. We know there's something more that balances this all out, that makes it all make sense. But it doesn't end there. There's a comma in that. It says, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. You know, children hate it when we say, because I say so. But God says that to us all the time. Sometimes we get real bold. We might even get angry. And we push the topic with God. You know, just like a child. Because I say so. Well, why? That doesn't make sense. I need to know why. And if we look at Job, we know what happened to him. He lost his family. He lost everything he had. It wasn't like he just lost one or two. He lost them all at once. House fell over and killed them all. His friends kept goading him about, oh, you've done something. You've pissed God off. What'd you do? You need to figure it out. And he got to the point where he wasn't satisfied just knowing God has some plan. There's got to be a reason for it. And he went to God with that, why, Lord? What'd I do? And sometimes, just like a kid, we probably shouldn't push it. But he did. Job 38. You don't see God answer back very often on the why. But for Job, he did. And he did it so we'd all learn from Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will give you. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst forth and issued forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set the bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? And ceased the dawn to know its place? That it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it. It takes on form like clay under the seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of the light and darkness? Where is its place that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the path to its home? Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war, by that way which light is diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water? Or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the clusters of the Pleiades? Or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Mazzoth in its season? Or can you give the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinance of heavens? Can you set dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundant water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Who has given the understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bodies of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens, or lurk in their lairs, or lie in their wait, who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down, they bring forth their young, they deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy, they grow strong with grain. They depart them and do not return to them. Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds on the onager? Whose home I have made the wilderness, and the barren land its dwelling. He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountain is the pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed you in the manger? Can you mine the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but her wings and pinions are like the kindly storks. For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crash them, that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they were not hers. Her labor is vain without concern, because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endure her with the understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and the rider. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust, his magic snorting like terror? He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops in the clash of arms. He mocks of fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the clitting spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Nor does he come to halt because the trumpet has sounded. And the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thundering of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings towards the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rocks it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey, its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood where the slain are. There it is. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hands over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yet twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like him? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind the faces in hidden darkness. Then I will confess to you. That your right own hand can save you. Let now at the behemoth which I made along with you, he eats grass like an ox. See now his strength is in his hips and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. His sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring him near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him. And the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus trees in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the rivers may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident that the Jordan gushes into its mouth. Though he takes it into his eyes or pierces his nose with a snare. Can you draw out Leviathan and hook him, or snare him with a tongue and a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will he take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir up him. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is near another that no air can come between them. They are joined to one another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light. His eyes are like eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights, sparks of fire shoot out, smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals and his flames go out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck and the sorrow dances before him. The folds of flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid because of his crashings. They are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail. He does not spear, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks into the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One who would think the deep had white hair. On earth there is nothing like him which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is the king over all children of pride. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I do not know. Just like with our kids. When we say, because I say so, and they push on it, there's a lecture coming. And Job got it. He was in the midst of mourning and suffering the loss of his entire family. God didn't explain why he did it. But he answered Job's question. And in the end, Job really didn't want to know why. So much as he wanted to know God was there. It was going to be okay. Because the same God that had the power to do all of these things, to create the wonderful world we're in, to design the eagles, to design the ox, to design all these creatures to such minute detail, to have control over their lives to the letter, to allow Satan, the great Leviathan that chapter 41 talks about, to still cause fear in man, to be impervious to what man does. That same God that has control over him, that can just put a fish hook through its mouth, through Satan, and said, no. Yes, everyone else can be afraid of you, but not me. That same God that did all of those things he'd take the time to answer Job when he asked the question. To remind him who he is, that he'll be there. Second Corinthians chapter 12. You might go, oh, that's the Old Testament God. The Old Testament God was he was a stern Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. We have Paul. Now this is New Testament. Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Because I said so. Now Paul was a studier of the word. He knew what happened if he pushed it further, because he knew what happened to Job. Fortunately, Paul had a little more wisdom. So Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. And its reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's not strong because Paul's a strong person. He's strong because in those times of distress, when he reaches out and he says, God, why? And God responds and says, because I said so. It tells him God's there. He's not alone. And he has a bigger plan, a bigger picture. And just like with Sunday school this morning, we get so proud and we think, damn it, I deserve more than to see this little fit. God, what's going on? Why did it happen? Why can't you show me it all? Because that's not how he works. He doesn't do it that way. And he gets the right to decide it, whether we think it's fair or not. He doesn't care if we think it's fair or not, because he knows it's fair. He made all the rules. But he didn't make them so that we would have to be the only ones that suffer for it. I tried to figure out how to say this, and I couldn't figure out how to say it any better than this lady had. Dorothy Sayers. For whatever reason, God chose to make people as they are, limited and suffering and subject to sorrows and death. He had the honesty and courage to take his own medicine. Whatever game he is playing with his creation, he has kept his own rules and played fair. He can exact nothing from us he has not exacted from himself. He has given himself, he himself has gone through the whole multitude of human experience, from the trivial irritations of family life and cramping restrictions of hard work and the lack of money to the worst horrors of pain and humiliation, defeat, despair, and even death. When he was a man, he played the man. He was born in poverty and he died in disgrace. And he thought it all worthwhile. We get into this point where we're like, God, why do you make me go through this? But he knows what it's like. And he knows it for our good. We just don't see it yet. And we won't see it yet till the end. In Revelation 21. Just like this morning with the young men. God tells us he knows what the picture looks like. We just got to trust him. Revelations 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain or former things, for they have passed away. We see this. That's what we see. And every once in a while, there's a blessed one amongst us that God opens up just a little bit more. But this morning, Jim sees the whole thing. And we're here. And we get asked why. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It guides us. It leads us. But we also thank you for making Jim a part of our lives. To be that comforter when you wanted to use him in our lives to guide us. To remind us how strong we can be when we are weak.
We thank you for it, Lord. We ask you, Lord, be there with us. Just like that second type of person. It's quiet. But that we just don't want them to leave. We ask these things in the name of your precious Son. Amen.